29 of Jeremiah, it's a long chapter, shows us God's plan. Sometimes we say that God loves us, it's a wonderful plan for our lives. But sometimes it's not easy to agree when we do not perhaps quite like the plan. But sometimes God's plans turns out to be different than what we were thinking. At this time of recession, when your boss calls you in and says, "We need some changes. We're going to have to let you go." What's happening? Sometimes God's plan is different than what we're thinking. A man may go and see a GP for cancer, and you're counting on God to come through, and the doctor tells you the tests are very bad. God's plan is different sometimes than what we are thinking. And this is very true of the Jewish people in Jeremiah 29. The year is round about 597 BC, and God is judging the people of Jewish people, the nation of Judah, because of their unfaithfulness. The Babylonians have attacked Jerusalem. They've taken 3,000 prisoners back to Babylon, including the king, the court officials, and the craftsmen. And they have all been removed to Babylon. And the people are saying, "This isn't supposed to happen to us. We are the chosen people. We are the apple of God's eye. What is going on?" This morning we were talking about the first church. How at the day of Pentecost, we had the beginning of the first church. It started the sacrificial death of our Savior Jesus Christ on the cross outside the city of Jerusalem. And then the risen Christ, and then on day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, the Passover, the sacrificial Lamb of God for the sins of mankind, for your salvation and for my salvation. And today we are singing these plans of God. The Jewish people in that time had a beautiful history of God coming through for them in times of crisis. Remember in Exodus 3:7, Lord told Moses, "I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, and by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and have come down to deliver them." Yes, God delivered them of their misery. "I'm concerned about their suffering at the hands of Egypt," God says. And in Exodus 14, God brings them through the Red Sea. And they didn't believe that God could do that. And 40 years later in Joshua, the Israelites inherit the promised land. You see, God's plan was accomplished in the life of his people. Yet in 2 Kings 19, we read the Assyrians invaded the land of Judah. The people were scared. And the commander of the Assyrian army said, "Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of king of Assyria?" You see, he was so proud of himself. "No one can deliver out of the hand of the king of Syria. Surrender." And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. And that very night, an angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 people in the Assyrian camp. Almighty God has come through again. God's word was accomplished in the lives of his people. And so when the Babylonians invaded the land of Judah in 597 BC, the captives are thinking, this isn't going to last. God is coming through for us, like he always does. And the prophet Hananiah said in Jeremiah 28, that in 2 years God will break the yoke of the king of Babylon, and we will be free. But in Jeremiah 29 we just read, Jeremiah writes a letter to the captives in Babylon. And it basically says, 29:4, thus say the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. God is saying, you are not ready to come home because I have plans for you right here in Babylon. Like the Jewish people in this history, in this story, we too are living in a world that is not our own. We are not ready to go home because God has plans for us right here. He wants us to live for him in this continuing city until he comes, calls us to the promised land. And in verse 7 he says, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace there shall ye have peace. Pray to the Lord, for you will prosper. And the Jews must have been thinking, you want us to pray for the community that carried us into captivity? Jeremiah, have you lost your mind? These people are enemies of God. These are people who ransacked the city of Jerusalem. How can you ask us to pray for these people? You see, God doesn't want us to be bitter towards the non-Christian world. He wants us to be a blessing, to be a leaven to the unchurched people. He wants us to pray for the people, even if they are different. Even if they don't always treat us the way we deserve. For Jesus says, in Matthew 5:24, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for people who don't get along with you. For Christian love is different from all kinds of love. And in verse 10, this is again, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work towards you in causing you to return to this place. 70 years in Babylon, they must be thinking, the Jews, you mean to say we have to live in this rotten country for next 70 years? Most of us will be dead by then. But if you look at the Old Testament, you see God accomplished great things in the life of his people during those 70 years. During those 70 years when they were in Babylon, let's see what God accomplished. Number one, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Remember, there were three captives that were taken to Babylon. And according to Daniel chapter 1, they went on to become three of the best administrators that the country ever had. And they became the role models for young people in those lands. In those 70 years, Daniel was another one of the captives that was taken to Babylon. And Daniel was able to interpret the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was made ruler over the entire province of Babylon. And number three, with Daniel's help, Nebuchadnezzar became a believer in God. For in Daniel 4:37, Nebuchadnezzar said, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble." This beautiful moment in the king's life would probably not have happened if it weren't for the presence of Daniel and his friends in the land of Babylon. And number four, because the Jewish people were able to live in peace under the leadership of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, they had time to write some of the greatest books of the Old Testament. The First and Second Kings, the First and Second Chronicles, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Psalm 137. These were all written during this 70-year period. And number five, most important of all during this 70-year period, the Jewish people were beginning to realize that they needed to get right with the Lord. They were beginning to see that they needed to apologize for the mistakes of the past. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19, "Because they have not hearkened to my words, I have sent my servants and prophets rising up early and sent them, but you will not hear. Your own conduct and actions have brought this upon them." How many have we heard someone say, "Your conduct and actions have brought this upon you"? There are times indeed when we need to hear it. And this time the Jewish people need to hear it, because for years they have been under the impression that because they are the chosen people and because they are the guardians of the temple of the Lord, they can live their lives as they wish, as they please. And God says in Jeremiah 7:4, "Trust ye not in lying words. Do not trust in deceptive words. If ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, I will cause you to dwell in this place." But they didn't listen. And God is using these 70 years of exile to show the Jewish people that where they went wrong and what they need to do to make things right. So when you look at this picture, you see that God is working behind the scenes in the hearts and lives of the Jewish people and the hearts and lives of the believers of God. Even though they can't see it, God's plan isn't always what we thought it was going to be, for his plan is always the best. Even if we don't understand it at time, even if we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, even if we have never chosen this path for ourselves, I wonder how many people say, "Thank you, God, that I lost my job today. I needed this to happen so that you can fulfill your glorious plan in my life." I doubt anyone would pray for that prayer. For we know that in all things, God worked together for good to those who love him. We know that God, when God shuts a door, he opens another door. When God knows he's working through every event in our lives to make us more and more dependent on Jesus for everything we need. God's plan is always the best. It may not be the easiest plan, I remember when we completed our postgraduate studies, we had a calling to go to Africa. Now that wasn't the best plan, was it? Africa. Even my parents, who were Christians, wondered, are you sure? What do you know of Africa? Nothing, except that I drew the map of Africa when I was in school. And my wife was then a convert from Buddhism. I mean, normally you would pray and you would say to her, oh, you're wonderful and all that sort of thing. I didn't. I said, would you like to go to Africa with me? So after 1.5 years of knowing her, here in England. And we went in faith. And that turned out that God's plan was the best plan. So it was a time of trial, but abiding in Him. And we brought up 2 girls in the African village. And they've done very well for themselves, returning to England in 1977. You see, in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Lord has plans. I know if we knew everything what was going to happen to us ahead of time, we would go crazy. Would I be able to stand here when I was in Africa that this was going to happen? You see, we do everything in our power to change things, to make them go the way we want to go. This probably doesn't want it that way. But verse 11 reminds us that even if we do not know all the plans for our life, God knows the plans. He has plans for us. He sees our tomorrows before they become our todays. That's how God sees our life. He sees the beginning of our lives. He sees the end of our lives. He sees everything in between. In Psalm 139:16, he says, thine eyes see my substance, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Psalm 139:16. See, all the days that have been ordained for me were written in the book. God knows the plans He has for each one of us. And Jeremiah says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. For God has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Sometimes we have hard times with verses like that. Why should we want to get blessed when there are so many people who don't even know what we have known? Thus Jeremiah says to God, plans to give you a hope and a future. For the Jewish people, that meant going back to the promised land. For us, it means abiding in the Lord and going up to the promised land. For if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a hope and future that goes far beyond the parameters of this life. You have a hope and future where you will be living in eternity with God Himself. You have the hope that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You have the hope that God will someday be finished with the work He's doing in our lives, and you will reign with Christ forever and ever. For you have a certain hope that God promises in your life will come true. In fact, the whole of the message of Jeremiah is that the word of the Lord always comes true. In the first 25 chapters of Jeremiah, God says over and over again that he is going to judge the nation of Judah because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of the living water, and that's what happened. Because the word of the Lord always comes true. And God says in Jeremiah 33, "For lo, the days come that I will bring the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." Indeed, 50 years later, the Medes and the Persians conquered the land, kingdom of Babylon, and the Jews were allowed to go home. Because the word of the Lord always comes true. And in Jeremiah 31:31, the Lord says, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And with this covenant, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, and he will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." And will remember their sins no more. How come? Yes, indeed. I tell you, 700 years later, God rectified this new covenant when he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. And because of what Jesus died for us on that cross, we all have the opportunity to know the Lord for ourselves. We have an opportunity to be forgiven, proving once and for all that the word of the Lord always comes true. And because the word of the Lord is coming true in our lives, we need to reach out to God, who makes his word come true. In Jeremiah 29:12-13, it says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." When we get up every morning, we say, "Lord, you have already seen this day. Let me experience your presence." But we do not know what's ahead of us, what we are going to face. Are we going to face a very cranky person in the office? Are we going to face a flat tire, traffic jam, moment of frustration? But we pray that God gives me the strength that I need for this day. That's what it means to reach out to God, who makes his word come true. That's what it means to reach out to God, who cares for each one of us. That's what it means to reach out for the first time to the God who makes his word come true. Sometimes his plan for our lives is different from what we are thinking, but it's always the best plan. So let us reach out to God who makes his word come true. reach out to the one who has a wonderful plan for our lives. Reach out to the one who sent his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. Amen.